Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Australia Now. We're going to be talking about the rainforest and the cafes. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to another episode of The Megan Sullivan Show with me, Meg Sullivan. An interview with Cole Hirsch, who you might know from the internet.
And this is the first episode that I recorded for this season, and both of us are a little, I think he'd be fine with me saying this, we're both a little bit hungover in this episode. It was Halloween weekend, and both of us were a little bit hungover. Haha. It was maybe 2 p.m. on Saturday. but Cole, he's king. He got me to talk about stuff that I wouldn't have talked about over wine. I hope to record another episode with him, just because it was so fun. And he has a lot of good stuff to say. He's so smart. Based off of what he thinks makes him a bad person in this interview, I think he's a genuinely good dude.
What to expect?
This is a great episode if you're a fan of Cole's and want to know a bit about the real Cole Shady. Sorry, Cole Hirsch. It's a great episode if you and I have dated recently and you want to hear that I'm not doing very well romantically. It's a pretty straightforward episode. We, of course, talk about 9/11, and this is the episode where I talk the most about my personal experience on 9/11 versus the guests. We talk about the comedy scene in LA. We talk about audience engagement. You get to learn a lot about the man behind the funny ha-has, Cole Hirsch. Enjoy the Cole Hirsch interview, one of many? We don't know. We don't know yet. Hey, guys. I'm here with my friend Cole Hirsch. We're here in Echo Park. It's October 29th, 2017, and my recommendation for the week is Hailee Steinfeld's song Starving. It is so good. If you haven't listened to it, it's so good. It's I love the syncopation when she says, by the way. So you have to listen to the rest of it to get the idea. This episode won't be released for a while, but I think that Starving will still be good.
We should predict what songs will be out by the time this is released.
Okay. I think Eminem will come out with a new CD
called
collaboration with called Jed.
I was gonna say Jazz.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. And it's all freestyles.
Yeah, he's gonna just roast.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
Yeah,
I haven't heard the Trump thing. Yeah, I just don't listen to Trump stuff anymore.
Well, this was an Eminem stuff.
Oh, Cole and I met
in Chicago.
That's right.
And then we met again in Australia. Wait, did this officially start? Is this?
Yeah, I just started it.
Oh, crap. Can we? I just woke up.
Yeah, we can start again.
You're making a whole bunch of noise with that chair.
So we can start again.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I'm here with Cole.
Wait, you said it wrong. It's what? Hey, guys. Oh. The name of the show is Hey, Guys, and you started it with Hi, Guys. This is your show.
Hey, guys. It's me, Meg. I'm here with my guest this week, Cole Hirsch. Cole.
Hi.
So yeah, say something so they know what you sound like.
This is what I sound like.
We're here in Echo Park.
Well, sometimes I sound like this. But not always.
We're here in Echo Park, Los Angeles.
You gotta get closer to the mic, I think.
We're here in Echo Park, Los Angeles, in actually the bedroom where I spent my second night in Los Angeles platonically. That was really nice.
Yes.
Thanks, Cole.
It was nice.
How did we meet?
I came to your show, The Thunderdome, in Chicago, when you ran that.
I thought we just met at Trader Todd's afterward.
Well, right, but before that, I was at that show.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Hope it was fine.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah. Apparently it's doing really well now, under someone else's direction.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Who's directing it?
Alan Giles is directing it, and then he got, like, all of, like, those Columbia kids on it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they all, like, co-host it and stuff.
Did you hand it over to him? Did you hand him the torch, or was he just like, oh, it's mine now?
I gave it to him. He was, like, the only person that was producing at the time that I was, like, I had been doing it for, like, 2 years, and I was, like, there's a new guy in office. This isn't, like, my show anymore. I was, like, someone else should be doing this. And Alan was producing some shows and stuff.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Can't you start it again out here?
Yeah, but I probably wouldn't do it as Thunderdome. I'd do it as something else.
Lightning Sphere.
How did you start doing ha-has?
I started ha-has around sophomore year of high school. I was in an improv class. For some reason, they taught it there. And that's when I got the bug, as they say. And I was hospitalized for weeks on end, and I said, you know, if I'm gonna make it through the rest of my life, I need to do Zip Zap Zop for at least a decade after this.
You're getting close to the decade.
I think I'm in like 9 years in right now, so I got 1 year left, and then, you know, come next December, I'll probably just quit comedy altogether.
I recently quit comedy to do body lifting.
Oh, shit. Whose bodies do you lift?
Well, I don't know yet.
Okay. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much. Where was high school?
It was in Beechwood, Ohio, which is in Cleveland, which is in the United States.
There's no beaches there.
There isn't. There's a lot of woods.
Oh, but Beechwood. That's a tree. Yeah. Fine. Who was the name of the crush that you had in your improv class that kept you going?
Oh, they actually, it was all guys.
What?
Yeah. That's why I loved it.
What? Usually, like, improv and theater classes are, like, all women.
Right, no, this was all guys. I was the youngest guy in there. The rest were, like, all seniors. I was a sophomore. Anyone could take the class, but then you had to test into the troupe after the class. But you could only get in the troupe if you were taught in the class. And, well, I made it into the troupe. I made it into the BHS Belly Laughers Society.
And it was all men.
I think there was like two girls.
But they were like, had already made the troupe, so they weren't in the class.
Right. And then like the next semester they left because they graduated. And then it was me and a few guys.
So your thought process is like 6 months in, you start wanting SNL, and you're like, what's my next step after high school?
Yeah, I was honestly kind of shocked junior year when I didn't even have like Lauren's email. I was like, what? This is a huge oversight on their part.
I don't know why they don't give it out.
Yeah, it should be public. And that's kind of what my Twitter timeline's about right now, is kind of demanding Lauren release his email. I'm hoping he'll see it.
I stopped following you on Twitter.
Why'd you stop following me on Twitter?
I only follow Megan Sullivan's on Twitter now.
Oh, okay.
And Patty, the writer for Jimmy Fallon and James Conklin.
Okay, so not just Megan Sullivan.
I follow 18 people, and 16 of the people are other Megan Sullivans.
What's their content like?
It's bad. It's really not good. Okay. There's one famous Megan Sullivan, and she works for IGN, which is, I think, Internet Game Network.
Okay.
And she's like a sexy gamer girl.
Yeah.
And she dominates the Google search. So I'm just making it official, and just going by Meg. Everybody calls me that anyway.
Yeah.
Do you have a Tumblr?
I have a Tumblr. I have an everything.
Oh, yeah? You're a social media mogul?
Yeah.
How did you know that you were like, oh, this is real?
When I got 1,000 followers on Vine, I was like, holy crap, this is 1,000 people. I've made it.
And it's just been up from there.
Yeah, it's just been...
When was that?
Sophomore year of college.
How long have you been on Vine?
At that point?
Yeah.
No, it was probably like maybe a couple months.
Wow, that actually is pretty quick. 1,000 people in a couple months.
But also, Vine was a very small app at the time, so it wasn't like...
Oh.
So it's like, you kind of see everything that's on there, because there's not a lot of people on there. The way apps work is that as long as you're like one of the first people on it,
yeah,
then you'll be successful at it, and you'll get millions of followers and be the king of the app. As, you know, that's what happened with Vine.
YouTube.
Not Twitter. Twitter's not. Yeah, YouTube happened with that. Not so much Twitter, but I guess Vine. Just with the video stuff. Musical.ly, Vine, YouTube. If it's as long as you're first and you're consistent,
mm-hmm.
That's all that matters, baby. You don't have to be talented. Just gotta be first.
I really effed up with Musical.ly, didn't I?
Yeah, you should have been first. Or consistent. Could have been a star.
I don't think Musical.ly is quite the same. It's just like a bunch of sexy people.
Yeah, you do have to be. You do have to be pretty too.
Yeah, and young, a little younger. And
younger.
Yeah, I don't really like makeup, but you keep yourself together nice. That's who you kind of are. Are you a Libra?
Thanks. No, I'm a Gemini.
Oh, you love games?
No, I actually was raised without video games, and I also hate board games. In a social setting, I just rather sit around and talk. I don't want to have to concentrate on cardboard or plastic to win a thing that doesn't matter. I'd rather engage in intelligent discussion or just do riffs and bits. Have a few laughs as opposed to being like, uh-oh, my plastic shoe has gone to jail because I couldn't afford the boardwalk.
Some people really can't afford boardwalk. Why do you have a Dunkirk hat on your desk?
I'll explain this to the viewers. There is a hat on my desk that says Dunkirk. I have it because it was given to me at the theater when I was seeing Dunkirk. I walked in, they were like, hey, you look like someone who'd like a Dunkirk hat. I was like, yeah,
shut
I would.
Up.
What?
That did not happen.
Well, it was implied. They handed it to me. They didn't say that, but they handed it to me. Well, yeah, they were giving it to everyone, but also in my mind, it was implied like, oh, you should have this.
Do you go to that Los Feliz theater on Vermont?
Yes, I've been there once. I have. It's small, right? It's a small theater. I had to see Baby Driver in the front row because my friend was late, and it was the worst experience. It was all the way to the left, the very last left seat in the front row, and that's an action movie. So by the end of that, my neck was just
If it
destroyed.
Makes you feel better, I saw Mother there.
Ooh.
In the second row.
Ooh, that's a lot of motion sickness.
I was supposed to save seats for three people, and one of the people was our friend Gabe, and I said, dude, you can, he was pissed that I got those seats, and I said, you can sit somewhere else. I was like, it's not weird, and I'm not gonna be mad if you do that. Like,
yeah.
There just weren't three seats together by the time we got here. Also, you get here earlier. I don't, like, and he's like, no, it's fun sometimes, especially during scary movies, to lean over and make comments. And I was like, oh, great, cool, because I'm a commenter.
Right.
I do color commentary on movies.
Oh, great.
So if you ever want to go.
Oh, okay. I think I'm busy that day.
Okay. So I was making a lot of comments, and Gabe, as it turned out, didn't even turn to me once to even acknowledge that I was speaking. And they were funny. It was funny stuff. And he didn't laugh.
Maybe he was trying to watch the movie. Yikes. Gabe has asked me to have this Dunkirk hat, if I could give it to him multiple times, and I keep saying no.
I mean, of course he wants it, but...
Do you want it?
Sure. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Oh, it fits good.
No.
Oh, it looks good, though. For the viewers, I'm putting the hat on, and it looks friggin' good.
For the viewers, I'm holding the hat, and she's acting as if she's wearing it.
But it does look good, because my hair is straight right now, and...
Your hair is curly and in a bun, in a ponytail right now.
No, it truly is straight and in a bun, and the hat is on the desk.
Oh, yeah.
The air conditioning just came on in this apartment.
We don't have AC.
What is that, then?
I don't know.
There's a big thunder sound.
Yeah, it's the Thunderdome. It's calling you. They want you to run it again.
Oh, my God. I would love to do that, but there's just not really, like, an alt scene that's a performance scene in L.A. that I've been able to find. Really? Have you? I mean, the people at Nerdist are great.
I've been hearing more and more about alt-type scenes. Like, one of my coworkers has a show that I think I'm going to perform at in December that seems pretty alt-y. It's like a variety. It's called Group Shower.
Oh, yeah, Group Shower. I matched with someone on Bumble who invited me to that for the first date, and I actually have not responded to that yet. This was months ago.
Oh, you should go with them.
I am against first date someone coming to watch my material, and so I'm probably not going to go watch yours.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, he was in it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird, yeah, because then you have to sit alone
and
watch this and then judge this person who, yeah, that's...
And then they, like, come off stage and it's like, so, what'd you think?
Yeah.
And you have to be like, it was great.
Wow.
Totally. After shows, like, I mean, the other night when we were at your show, someone came up and you basically got pimped into because they thought you were cute on stage, going to talk to them.
Yeah.
And it's flattering, but it's also, like, when it becomes real, it's...
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty weird.
It seems like you like it.
What, the...
If someone has a stage crush on you and them pursuing it.
Right, well, yeah, anyone would be flattered by that. Unless you're a girl who's... that always happens to you, because...
There's not many girls, yeah, and there's, like, so many boys in the audience so often at like, the level I'm at.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the people that are the best ones, that you would be like, cool, that rocks.
Right.
They're never the ones that come talk to you.
Right.
It's like...
It's almost like they know their worth.
Do people message you online and say, hey, cutie boy, what's up?
Well, yeah, and, like, my DM... My Twitter's closed, but on Instagram it's just that all the time. But I can either accept it or decline it.
How many are you waiting to accept right now?
Let's see.
I never decline. I just keep them in there because it makes me sometimes.
Oh yeah, I don't decline. I just keep them in there. Let's see. Right. Oh, 99 plus. So.
Wow. Could you DM on Vine?
You could VM.
Whoa. You know, I remember when you went to New York for Vine when we were in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, whoa, this is, like, a bigger deal than I know.
Yeah, that was a great trip. It was very cool. It was the first time I was acknowledged by the app I had been using for years. And they were like, hey, we're going to fly you out to New York so you can hang out. I was like, oh, with my friends and for free? Okay. It was amazing. I think that was my favorite trip I've been on. Because it was the first time I got to meet the people that I've been following for years in real life who I'd become friends with online. And then we were in a hotel. They put us in a hotel together. Each had our own room. And it was during that huge winter storm. So we got trapped there for a week. We were only supposed to be there for 2 days. We got trapped there for a week. And
strapped there?
We got strapped there. And it was incredible because it was still all, they were still paying for everything, every meal and everything. Our flights kept getting canceled. So we were literally just trapped in paradise. It was so much fun. And like the whole city was closed. All the streets were closed. No one was allowed to drive. It was a blast.
That is so amazing.
It was incredible. It was a lot of fun.
Does that make sense? Let us know in the comments section. Is that what you have to say if you want like a good?
Well, yeah, if you want audience engagement, you say, let me know your thoughts in the comments.
You do such a good job of doing that facetiously and then getting people to, my guess is that people who are chill are responding to you.
Oh yeah, because my audience, they only interact ironically.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know that everyone out, like, other, like, hundreds of other people are also interacting ironically. So it's pretty funny.
Do you bring those numbers into a place where you're trying to get, like, your whatever put up? Like, are those the technical
Yeah, terms? Well, that's why I was put on that other show, that show you saw on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
A Night Wasted, hosted by AJ Lubecker. Because that was the first show, and he knew I had a following, so... If I advertised it, yeah, people would show up. And same with, you know, Nick and Gabe. Like, Gabe used his audience, and he, you know, they packed the house here tonight.
Do you feel comfortable talking about 9/11?
Always.
What was that day like for you?
I was in the second grade in an improv class.
You were not.
No, I was not.
It's too early for improv.
Yeah.
You're in Ohio.
It was like 9 a.m. Right?
Yeah.
I was in Ohio. I was... In second grade, I didn't know what happened until all I remember was they wouldn't let us go outside for recess, so I was kind of pissed. And then I came home, and my dad was watching the news, and I was watching the footage. But to me, at the time, I'm like, oh, I see this stuff in movies all the time. Like, this, okay, whatever. Looks like a cool action scene. Like, it just didn't affect me at all, and I was like... pissed because I wanted to watch Johnny Bravo.
Such a good show.
But 9/11 was taking up every single channel. It wasn't until, like, honestly, probably for some reason for me, like, college, when I, like, started looking back on it, like, on the footage and just the whole thing, I'm like, holy shit, this is terrifying.
Yeah, college for me too. It was like the 10-year anniversary when I was in college and everyone was like out. I was at this terrible, like, little Catholic college in Iowa, and everyone was like out drinking and stuff, and I like came home to pee or something, and then someone had left the TV on, and that was the rest of my night. I just watched the footage and was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it didn't hit me till 10 years later.
I just thought, like, oh, the buildings got hit, but, like, the rubble, like, is
the one 9/11 rebel.
Dude! No, that's terrible. All we did was have outdoor recess that day.
What?
Well, 9/11. When I was in grade school, and it was 9/11, all we did was have recess that day.
What the heck? They just kept you outside?
They pretty much just, like, the teachers, like, sat in the corner and, like, talked to each other. We weren't allowed to talk about it. I went to public school.
So did I. You weren't allowed to talk about it?
They didn't let us talk about it.
That's weird. Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
What grade were you in? Like, fourth?
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
It was a beautiful day.
I remember. It was just seemed like a normal day. Yeah, it was crazy.
Everyone in the Midwest that I've talked to about it, I'm really interested about it because I think that if you were in grade school or middle school when it happened, it affected you in a completely different way than if you were in, like, high school or college and, like, kind of understood what was going on. That's why I get pissed off that we get looped in, that people that are 35 now are getting looped in as millennials. I'm like, no, queen, you guys learned how to be on the internet. I just started, like, school on the internet. And you guys knew what death was when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought it was a fucking movie that was disallowing you from doing Johnny Bravo.
Yeah. Yeah, I can safely say the media, even in 2001, the media had desensitized me, a child, to 9/11. Props on that.
I mean, the media.
And by media, I mean, like, movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
Were you allowed to watch sex scenes with your parents?
I was only allowed to watch sex scenes with my parents.
Do you just like making ha-has, or do you think, like, dude, I gotta do this for a reason?
I guess a mix. I mean, yeah, it started as a defense mechanism way back when, and then it kind of ended up being the only thing I thought I was good at.
You're good at other stuff. You can comb your hair so good, Cole.
Thanks.
How do you do it?
A brush.
No, that's comb stuff.
No, that is a brush. I don't have a comb.
I'm looking around the room and I can't see a comb or a brush.
Whoa. I'm doing it right then.
What was the name of your first crush?
Jocelyn. This was preschool. And then kindergarten through, like, fifth grade was Phoebe. And then it was Sophie. Then it was Alix. And then it was just, like, everyone.
No, now it's getting too close to how old you are now, and so you can't say it.
Well, I
didn't have a crush on everyone.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God, this rocks.
If you're, like, 14, you have a crush on it. If you're a 14-year-old boy, you just have a crush on anything that moves.
So you would just take what you could get.
Well, I didn't get anything.
But if it were coming your way, you basically didn't have
standards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those don't matter.
So if a young girl thinks she's friends with someone, and they are friends, and then she finds out that they just want to kiss, it's not that they weren't friends that whole time. It's that they were
What?
Do you think that you really genuinely wanted to kiss everybody, or that...
Yeah, I did.
And do you have siblings?
I have a younger brother. What are you getting at?
I have two sisters, and kind of in our house, it was kind of like, guys want one thing, and that's it. There's no boys in our house, so I would have no idea or reference growing up that that wasn't true. So I'm basically trying to politely ask if that was true, or if you genuinely, like, were like, I have a crush on this person, every person. Or if you were just like, I really want to know what it feels like, a warm pocket.
I had bigger crushes on some more than others, definitely. I mean, personality was a factor. But yeah, no. But also, but yeah, but it, I don't know, it's a combo of both. Why, are you now realizing, like, oh, this guy who liked me liked everyone, and I mean nothing to him, and I never meant anything to him. Is that where your mind went when I said that?
No, I'm really happy with the amount of people I made out with in high school.
I made out with no one in high school. I made out with one person in high
school. I'm really glad that I didn't, because I had crushes on a lot of people, too, and I'm really glad that I didn't say, oh, Megan, you can't kiss someone else, because last night you kissed this person. So you can't kiss two different people in one weekend. To me, I was like, there's no other time in my life I'll be able to do this.
Oh, okay.
And I turned out I was right.
Yeah.
I'm really glad I did it.
Good.
So, but I'm thinking, okay, then that was good. That's still, I still think it's fine. And it's good. They probably didn't, I didn't like ruin anyone's life by doing that.
No, I don't think so. I'm feeling,
I don't know why I brought up, like, making out. I'm clearly so unreal comfortable with this topic right now.
Yeah, you brought it up out of nowhere.
I am truly, like, embarrassed. Like, I can't, I have to walk around with this
now. Are you gonna see this guy again who gave you this hickey?
I have no idea. I mean, he has my shorts. I haven't been in a situation like this for 4 or 5 years.
Whoa. Has he texted you? Since? Like, hey, had fun last night.
I said, hey, had fun last night. I sent, like, a page-long text, and he responded, geez. Haha, sounds good.
What? Why would you say? Wait, you sent a page-long because text, Meg?
Dude, you have to understand, I've been talking to full-grown adults for the past 5 years. People in their late 20s and 30s. I don't think I've kissed someone under 25 in 6 years.
Whoa. Wait, so how old is this guy?
He said he was 24. I think he was lying.
You do only talk to adults. Your font on your phone is so big. This is like my parents' font. What the heck?
It's because it's easier for me to read.
Wait, hold on. Yo, it's me, Meg. I had a really nice time. Hope you're not butt hurt. Wait, what?
I was just like, I'm fucking tired.
Oh my gosh.
An adult would be like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. And he just didn't handle it in a way that I'm used to. And I was like, I feel like I'm beyond this.
Wow.
So now I'm only gonna hook up with people in their 40s.
Whoa. Okay, I'm gonna finish this. I left my jean shorts. If they look cute on you, you can borrow them. That's funny. I can show you around LA when I get back from Chicago next week. Hold on. Bunch of things here I want to address. When I get back from Chicago. You're going to Chicago next week?
Yeah, I'm going to Chicago next week.
And then he says, haha, sounds good. But he says it with an exclamation point, which means that it's better than haha, sounds good. It's like, haha, sounds good.
He hasn't accepted my Instagram follow request.
Did he that too? Was this all today?
Well, he's new to LA, and I said, and he's like, hey, like, let's go sit down. He's like, come in my house, and he's like trying to hold my hand. I'm just like, ugh, I'm not into it. And I was like, let me just give you my number, dude, because I'm not going anywhere with you. He's like, what? I never would think you were that kind of girl. What? Never, dude. You're giving me your phone number? Really? I was like, that's huge. I was like, welcome to LA. It goes like this. Instagram. Oh, wait, no. How does it go? It's like Instagram. Oh, it's like Snapchat, Instagram, mm-hmm. phone number or something sure, like yeah, that. Yeah, yeah. For like level of like how serious you are about yeah. not continuing it right now, but continuing it later.
I think it's Snapchat. And then Instagram. No, I guess Instagram first. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Well, I just don't really do Snapchat.
So. Instagram first and then Snapchat. Because Snapchat is, like, more intimate because there's pictures. But it's also, right. There's also this connotation of, oh, this doesn't matter. But then when phone number is when it gets real. Did he follow you back? You have two.
It's requested, see?
Oh, you have to request this dude? Who is he? He's not going to make it in LA. Are you kidding me?
He doesn't know. It's week one for him.
He's got to step up his game. What does he want to do?
He was in fashion. He loves male fashion. And okay. His idol is Kanye.
Then he's gonna make his stuff.
He has zero posts though.
Oh, this rookie. My god. Well then what, why is it private? Why do you have an account with zero posts that's private? And his profile picture is Face from the popular Nick Jr. Screen in the 90s. Wait, hi there. Cole? Face here. That's his profile picture.
Did I give myself this hickey?
I would like to see you try that.
Did this person not even exist? And I created an account with no posts?
Yes.
And gave myself a hickey just to make myself feel like I'm wanted?
Yeah, do you have like a vacuum or something?
Yeah.
You have
two messages.
Two messages. Who are they from? Oh, not him.
But dude, I do have a crush on that person. I don't think they like me back. Dude, I've been just getting crushed nonstop.
But with what? Boys?
Yes.
Like crushed? Like you have crushes on them? Or like being let down?
Being let down.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Me too. How's it going for you? Okay?
I'm not focused on girls right now. I'm cutting it out of my life for just the next, I don't know, till I'm...
Easter?
No. Oh, I think you have me giving up girls confused with Lent. No. Just until I'm where I want to be at career-wise.
Chris Rock didn't date anybody for 9 years because he was doing comedy every single night.
Yeah, that's ideally where I'd like to be at. Yeah.
You know what, honestly, hearing that makes me feel a lot better about my little mishap yesterday. So I wouldn't even call it a mishap. I would call it a nothing. And
last
so I'm
night,
not focused on it. I'd love to get my shorts back.
And you love to get your neck sucked.
No! I don't want that. When I discovered that this morning, I was just like, he was 19. There's no question.
Yeah, who gives hickeys anymore? That's so trashy.
And I have to walk around. I had to get gas today, and the guy stared at me.
Yeah, no one
I don't even know. I don't even have, like, a turtleneck, I don't think.
Ugh, hickeys suck. Those are the worst. Some people are so proud of them, though. And, like, that's how you know that they're the worst.
How did you pick your college? And how many hickeys did you give in college?
I picked DePaul solely because it was in Chicago and I wanted to do comedy in Chicago.
How do people find out that comedy is in Chicago?
It's just like a known fact. It's like the biggest improv scene in the world.
Oh.
I didn't care what I was majoring in school. My parents just made me go to school, so I didn't really care what I was majoring in. I just had to be there for comedy. Yeah, I kind of lied my way into letting them let me go there. They didn't want me to go out of state. They wanted me to stay in Ohio. So I had to find a reason for them to let me go out of state. So I found a school. I was like, okay, what does DePaul have that no other school has? And they had a really good special needs education program. So I was like, oh, I want to teach special ed. That's what I want to do. And they're like, okay, well, if that's what you really want. I'm like, it is. So then they let me go there, and then for the first full year, I avoided any class related to that. I just took gen eds, and then by sophomore year, I called them. I was like, hey, so if I start taking classes now, like if I start taking those classes, I'm not going to graduate on time, so I'm going to change my major. And they're like, okay, to what? And I was like, English, I'll just teach English. And they're like, okay. And then I changed it again. I'm like, oh, I don't want to teach, I'm just going to major in English. And then they kind of begrudgingly said yes. So then I majored in creative writing and just wrote the rest of my time out in school, getting easy A's and doing comedy. I'm a weasel. I'm a little freaking weasel.
It's a touching story.
Thanks. It's also kind of evil. I said I wanted to help children with special needs so I could focus on my selfish path.
Truthfully, people who work in comedy are helping kids with special needs, and those special needs are usually depression.
Yeah, that's true.
So you are doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I got away with taking not even one education class.
Good on you.
Good on me.
How much money do you have?
Like in my bank account?
Yeah.
Enough to get by this, today.
Why did you move to LA?
Sorry, that's my dryer making that noise. I don't know if it's getting picked up on here.
It's getting picked up big time.
Oh, okay. Well, why did I move to LA?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just because it was just the next logical step, because I felt I wasn't going to do too much more in Chicago, and I had a lot of contacts out here from the internet, and my manager at the time was out here.
So. Oh, you would let them go?
But yeah, then I moved out here, and then I let them go.
Do you have a different one now?
I don't. I'm in search, so anyone listening, if you'd like to rep me, if you'd like to, you know, manage me, filter my emails, do my biddings, I'm open. I'm open for business.
You mostly do characters online, and you have only done a couple of voices so far today. How do you feel about that?
I don't think I've ever appeared online as genuine as I am right now. So this, I feel like this will be a big shakeup for the listeners.
He's wearing a Dunkirk.
I'm wearing my Dunkirk hat, and I'm talking in my normal voice. So this is a first, folks. All right, let's hold for room tone.
Oh, I'm getting a phone call.
Ooh, let's put her on speaker.
Hello?
Hi.
Who is this?
Hi. It's your friend Brad.
It's my roommate Brad. I knew that, and he's just at the door. He doesn't have a new key yet. Come on, dude.
Coffee cake. Yeah, I think we talked about everything there is to talk about. Just on a general...
I haven't been to Lost Night in a long time.
The Lost Night? That's a great bar. I hate bars.
What is, like... Are you comfortable talking about terrible things that have happened? Not terrible things, but, like a thing where you're like, oh, my God. For example, like, one of my first days at my internship, I said, hi, I'm Meg, to someone, and they said, okay. And it turned out it was the writer for Nathan For You. And I was like, God. So do you have any stories like that?
I'm trying to think. Like, embarrassing things that I've done? Maybe?
Poop your pants, wore a shirt inside out, forgot to wear a bra, something like that?
I don't know. I can't...
Bombed on stage big time?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've bombed at open mics and stuff. But those are the nights where, like, everyone bombs. So I go up expecting to bomb because... Everyone before me had just bombed, so I was at this one mic with my friend AJ and Brian, and just all the comics were just in the back talking during the performances. I'm like, how is this benefiting anyone right now? Like, what is anyone gonna gain from this experience? The answer was nothing.
What kind of room was it? A bar?
It was a bar. It was Rafa's Lounge.
Oh.
It's almost like a speakeasy, it looks like. It's like in the basement. It's like a basement bar.
I like that one. They have a couple during the week, and I went to one that, and I liked it.
Okay. Yeah, it was real.
Each night it's different, you know?
Right.
And there's like a good like community, at least, that goes to Rafa's. It's such a good community in Chicago.
There's a lot of people there but towards the end of it, but it was kind of rough.
Yeah, you're not even putting time up. Like, the only way to get your time and material really up is to by doing showcases.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like I have somewhat of an in enough with enough people to start doing shows.
Yeah, but it's like you have to go to those terrible mics just so that people know that you're interested in doing it and just so that you're not even busy.
Wait, what do you mean that you're not even...
Like, if you leave LA for like a couple weeks at a time, people don't even know you're out of town. They think you're like working on something or... I don't know, you're doing self-care, you're on Joshua Tree, no one, like, cares. So when you go to the mics and stuff, people know that you're around and available.
Right.
But they're, like, not necessarily, like, great places to, like, test out your material or be.
Yeah, it was very intimidating, because I knew no one, because that was the first time I had gone up since living in LA, that was a couple of weeks ago. And it was, no one knew who I was, no one cared who I was. It seemed like they all knew each other. It was just a very exclusive, excluding feeling. Exclusive? Excluding? I felt excluded because they felt exclusive. Because they were too inclusive, but not with me.
It's like...
I felt excluded because they were exclusive and too inclusive, but without me.
Is that Eminem?
Yeah.
Off his new album?
Of his new album.
That came out
Jazz,
yesterday.
That came out, it just came out yesterday, yeah.
Oh. Well, so keep listening to that album.
Yeah, it's a great album, guys. You're gonna love Eminem's Jazz, where he...
Well, I hope this was okay. Any final words?
What if you just end it here?
And thus concludes the Cole Hirsch interview at the Megan Sullivan Show. If you have any comments or questions, slide into my DMs at Sister Megan on Instagram or the show's Instagram at the Megan Sullivan Show. Please check out Cole's YouTube channel. He reviews some great products, including one of my personal favorites. There is amazing content for teens there. You can follow him on Instagram at Cole's Instagerm, Twitter at Cole's Twitter, spelled TWITT, the letter 3R, or on Snapchat at Cole's Snapchart. Although I do think that Snapchat is a dying medium. See you next time on this show. Enjoy this music on your commutes on the J train.
Can you try it?
You keep doing it right when I take a bite.
Perfect.